Are you joyful? If not, you are the perfect candidate for the cruel taskmaster of anxiety and worry. You are ripe for that. So how can we as believers overcome genuine obstacles to faith in Jesus Christ?
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your subject today is one that I think may make most of our listeners slightly uncomfortable, primarily because we all deal with it. And you're talking about worry today.
Yes, Dave, you know, worry is a common reality for each and every one of us. Now, not every one of us is a worrier, but we are all tempted to worry. Unfortunately, most people don't see worry the way the Lord sees it. Now, in today's message, we're going to explore what the Apostle Paul had to say about worry to a group of Christians in Philippi. And this same truth applies to us today. Our text is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, if you think about it, there is much to worry about. There are many circumstances, unknown variables. This life isn't consistent. Think about the people, and certainly pray for them down in Ridgecrest with all those earthquakes. They have no idea when the next one's coming. The reality is there's lots to worry about. Whether it's large or small, we have many temptations to worry because we cannot control this life. You see, we can't control the circumstances, and the one without Christ tries to do that, but there comes a point in which they realize at times it's not going to happen. The reality is there are many things to worry about, whether we know the Lord or whether we don't. And worry and anxiety are thus for the non-believer part and parcel for their lives. Now, some are just those who might live in a state of denial, ignoring the difficulties. But yet when difficult things come, we all understand the temptation to worry. There are many things to worry about. But what about for the believer? As the hymn writer wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come." If you've been a Christian for a while, we realize that this life is not one of ease, but of temporal difficulty for the glories to follow. And indeed, Jesus said in this life, we would have trouble, but we should take courage because he has overcome the world. Yet the reality is we will be tempted. And within that temptation, Satan offers the solution to address our fears and our anxiety and whatever it might be. The world has its solutions to anxiety. But what does God's word say about anxiety? Today we're going to see how we as believers can stop worrying. So turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. And within this, we're going to see how we can overcome those internal obstacles to trusting Jesus Christ. Now, as you turn to Philippians 4:7, I want to remind you of the context of the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul is writing to the saints who are in Christ Jesus. They're believers who are in Philippi. And he is writing while under house arrest in Rome, chained to a Roman guard 24/7. And this letter is one of his four prison epistles, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon. And it was most likely written around 62 AD, about 10 years after the founding of the Philippian church. Now, the Philippian church and the Apostle Paul were very close to one another. And indeed, in chapter 1, he has already lovingly prayed for them, and he has shared his thankfulness for God's past work in them and his confidence that God would complete that good work. And then he has shared his circumstances that although he is imprisoned, the gospel is not, and God has been using his circumstances for the greater spread of the gospel. He shared his attitude, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he understood that within anything, whether life or death, he desired Christ to be magnified. And then he addressed the Philippians' attitudes, that they were to be united, they were to be humble, they were to be like Jesus Christ, they were to have the mind of Christ. And after giving the perfect example of humility, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, we see that he was exalted back to his rightful place for all to see that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that truth. And thus, because Christ is Lord, we are commanded to obediently work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because God was at work in us. Work out what he is working in. And then we saw some selfless examples of humility after the Apostle Paul shared to all of us to not complain and argue, to do all things without complaining and arguing. And we saw the selfless humility of the example of Paul himself, then Timothy, then Epaphroditus. Then in chapter 3, Paul revealed that we would face opposition to the gospel, daily living out these truths, that there are make-believers, false brethren, who ultimately glory in self and rely on their flesh. And we saw that the Apostle Paul shared that he was like that. That's the way he was. But all that he considered as gain before, he counted as refuse. He counted as loss in order to gain Christ. And we saw that he pressed forward, not looking back, to the upward call in Christ Jesus. And then we were commanded to imitate him, to imitate that all-consuming desire to be like Christ and to know him, to come to that understanding of a right walk with him where we know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, and all the wonderful things that are included in what God has promised for us. We press forward to that upward call. And then he shared the reality that we are not like the many, those who set their mind on earthly things, but we are of heavenly citizenship. Therefore, we should press forward. And then in chapter 4, he summed up these truths with the statement, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Stand firm in him. Stand firm in Christ. Keep pressing forward, forgetting what lies behind. Keep going towards the upward call. Keep trusting him in the midst of the difficulties. And then we started to see the things that are those things that can get in the way of trusting and standing firm. In Philippians, we saw how we can have unity in the church when there's difficulty. And Paul gave a direct exhortation to Euodia and Syntyche, who were at odds with one another, to be same-minded, to have the mind of Christ, to, in obedience, to think of others as more important than themselves, to be thinking in accordance to what God has revealed in his word towards one another and towards him. And the body of Christ was exhorted to come alongside and help these women. And it's from this point we come to the other obstacles to trusting in Jesus, to standing firm. And as we will see, those obstacles include not being joyful and not yielding oneself and being anxious. Those are obstacles, and thus how we are to overcome those things. So today we're going to see how to overcome those internal obstacles to genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Again, if you're not there, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Tremendous passage. So then, how can we believers, this is written to believers, because if you don't know Christ yet, you don't have power to say no to sin because you don't have Christ in you. You don't have his spirit. You don't have the ability to renew your heart and mind to the truth. This is for believers. So how can we stop worrying? Now, the reality is we're going to be tempted day in and day out, and we've already been tempted. I've been tempted. I'm sure you have been already to worry about something, right? How can we stop? Well, the first thing we need to have is the right attitude. You see, we need to be joyful in what God has done for us. We need to see him rightly. If we don't see what God has done for us in Christ, then we will not see our circumstances rightly. Notice he says, first of all, his first command, that we should continually rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say, rejoice. The Apostle Paul's a repeater here, isn't he? He's already shared it earlier in chapter 3. And so here he says, rejoice in the Lord. And it's a present tense in the Greek language, which means continually, habitually rejoice. You all, it's to the whole group, you all continually, habitually rejoice. You could even translate it this way, keep on rejoicing. The implication is you already are, but keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I will say, same structure, you all keep rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's all the time. And it's emphatic. It's repeated. Now, all these passages that we're looking at are all connected. Because if you have conflict with other believers that's not resolved, you're not going to be joyful. And if you're not joyful, guess what? Conflict's probably just around the corner. And the reality is we are told to rejoice in the Lord. And as I mentioned earlier, back in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And it's a command. Keep on rejoicing in the Lord. Well, can we obey a command to rejoice? Can you say someone, just rejoice? Well, we can, ultimately, if we understand the context of this command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And who is the Lord? Remember what we saw back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5? Take a look at that. Have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died for us. Therefore, God highly exalted and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ. The great I am, the term Lord means the I am. He is the one. He is the Lord. He is the master of all of the universe. He is the Lord. We are to rejoice in the Lord. So we are commanded to do so, but how can we do that? You see, the world has happiness or sadness based on circumstances, but we can have joy, which is different than that. It's not based on our circumstances. We are the only ones who can actually have joy and sorrow at the same time. We can rejoice in the Lord as we are to do so always. But how can we do so? Let me share some passages for you and you can note them down. Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You might remember what was shared in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn to Psalm 5. And we're going to see you can only rejoice in the Lord when you renew your mind concerning who he is and what he's done for you. You see, if my mind is all focused on all the stuff that's going on, I'm not going to rejoice. I'm going to complain and I'm going to worry, right? I need to look at the things from God's perspective and who he is and what he's done for me. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. And mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. Rejoice in the Lord. If he's your God, he has died for you. He's brought forgiveness and his favor is upon you. His grace is upon you and we are going to glory. Look up at Psalm 32. We're going to see that our joy in the Lord is also connected to the reality of what Christ has done for us. And if you forget what kind of a sinner you were and are and what God has forgiven you of, you're not going to be joyful. But when you remember what Christ has done for you, there's joy. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a Maskil. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. And I'd love to read the whole thing because it's a great psalm, but look down a little farther at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. You see, we are blessed because we have forgiveness of sins, so be glad and rejoice. Psalm 43, verse 3, O send thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Have you ever prayed that? Send thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. He says here, let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Psalm 51, verse 1, David's psalm and song of repentance for what he had done. He sinned greatly, but yet he confessed and was forgiven. Psalm 51, verse 7, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. That he's saying, hey, remove the discipline. I've confessed my sin. Let me rejoice again. O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You see, when you got saved, if you really did get saved, I'm confident there was joy. There was joy because you realized you've been saved from the penalty of your sin. You realized God was so gracious to send his son in your place and take the full penalty and bear your sins and die for you. And you have been pardoned and freed, who the son will set free. You're free indeed. Psalm 71, verse 23, my lips will shout for joy and I will sing praises to thee and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. You see, if you're not thinking about what Christ has done for you, then you're not going to be joyful. If you're not thinking about who he is, you're not going to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 1, O come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come in his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. You see, it's the word of God that renews our mind concerning the truth concerning our Savior. And we need to be reminded. And we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. But there is a joy stealer out there, isn't there? There is a joy stealer, and that joy stealer is our sinfulness. One pastor writes, now he refers to that which is so much on his heart, that he would have the saints always rejoicing in the Lord. And he writes, joy and holiness are inseparable. A holy Christian is able to rejoice even when passing through the deepest afflictions. But a believer through whose unwatchfulness has permitted himself to fall into unholy ways loses immediately the joy of the Lord, which is the strength of those who walk in communion with him. The reality is, when you're walking with the Lord, your sins forgiven, there's joy. Have you lost your joy? Has sin caused you to lose sight of what Jesus has done for you? Are you under the weight of your sin? Then just confess. You see, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we just acknowledge it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then you will be able to rejoice in that forgiveness and in the Lord. And back in our passage, we have such a great reason to rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. And it's emphatic. Keep on rejoicing in the Lord. This is a day-to-day battle to renew your mind to the reality of who our Savior and Lord is and what he has done for us. And to see our circumstances in light of that rather than just what we see. So how do we focus on Christ? Well, we'll look at it more so later, but we do it through the context of prayer and the Word. We allow his word to help us see him rightly and to see what he has done rightly, and we fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, as I've mentioned, true joy is not circumstance related, but it is an indicator of where your heart is in relationship to what Christ has done for you. So then we are to rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, Galatians 5. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God working in your heart and mind through the Word of God. You see, when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and discloses the things of Christ to us, it changes our attitudes. So then we are to rejoice in the Lord. This is foundational. Now, if you're not joyful, now I'm not saying we don't grieve. We do grieve. But we can even have joy in the midst of temporal sorrows. Are you joyful? If not, you are the perfect candidate for the cruel taskmaster of anxiety and worry. You are ripe for that. So how can we as believers overcome genuine obstacles to faith in Jesus Christ? First of all, we are to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And notice next, we are to rest in the Lord. We're to trust in Him. We're to find our peace in Him. Look at verse 5. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now here, the Apostle Paul gives us two specific commands, which will enable us to find our peace in the Lord. As we rejoice in Him, we are to have our peace from Him. And the first one is simply that we should yield. We should allow a gentle reasonableness to be manifest because we understand the Lord is near. And this is for believers. If you're not a believer, this isn't going to make any sense. It's just going to be gibberish or it's just going to seem boring, okay? The reality is, we are to hear, as we'll see, yield. Look at verse 5. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's message, help me get my head around this idea that in order to stop worrying, I just need to trust God more. Is that right?
You know, Dave, that's exactly it.
Okay, so I understand what those words mean, and I can say them every single time I start to worry. I'm just not convinced that saying I need to trust God more is actually going to really do much for my situation.
Well, the reality is, Dave, it's not just saying that you have to trust God more. It is actually trusting Him more. And to trust Him more, you need to have an accurate picture of who He is. And the Word of God reveals who He is. And as you go through the Word and you see who He is in light of who we are rightly, then we are enabled by His strength to trust Him and obey Him. You see, we need to see God rightly, and then we need to respond rightly. We need to call sin what it is. When we are tempted to worry and then yield to that, we need to confess it, turn to the living God who is a gracious, wonderful God who has promised to deliver us from temptation. He's a faithful God. You know, Dave, I think at the core in this problem of worry is we just don't see it as it really is. We don't see it as the sin that it is. We need to recognize when I'm worrying, I'm not trusting the Lord at all, and I need to be praying. Ask God to calm your heart, to help you see Him as He really is and how much He really loves you, and get out the Word of God and focus on Him rather than yourself. You see, God is so good and so great and so gracious. He is willing to deliver you right now from worry. And so I pray that you will take that step to turn and trust in Him and rely on Him completely, because when you do, you will be delivered from worry and you will find yourself praising and thanking Him for what He has done for you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.